Victoria Clare is a sculptor who has lost most of her sight now. But she hasn't let that hold her back. She's been exhibiting her latest work, Blind, A Sixth Sense, to great acclaim this year. But she's now taken on another role, and she's really excited about it. Hi, Victoria.
Hello there. How are you?
Well, thank you. And the sculpting's been going well this year, hasn't it?
Yes, it certainly has. Since my Blind, A Sixth Sense exhibition that was back in February, things have really gone from strength to strength. The exhibition itself had a sellout on all work and 500 visitors, and actually was reviewed by the Turner Tate to see if it can be part of their programme. So fingers crossed with that. That's still the unknown at the moment. But it really has opened myself up to a whole new avenue, really.
Now, it's retinitis pigmentosa that you're living with, isn't it?
Yes, that's right, yeah. I've had that since I was 19. I was diagnosed at 19 anyway, which was 24 years ago now.
You're not that old.
Unfortunately, yes.
So tell us about your new role then as an ambassador for... Now, we should say RP Fighting Blindness have just changed their name, haven't they?
That's right, yeah. We've literally just rebranded to Retina UK. The website has changed, obviously. All of the brand has changed. But obviously the advocation is still there. The support is still there. And most certainly the research side of things is very much stronger than ever. So, yeah, it should be an interesting time for the charity.
So what does your role involve then with the charity?
Well, I was invited to be an ambassador. This was earlier on in the year. This was then launched back in August. And my role really is to kind of advocate everything about the actual charity. So, you know, talk about the pioneering research side of things, also talk about the support that's available, and obviously also kind of give my personal story airtime, if you like. So I did quite a lot of public speaking to actually talk about my personal story through sight loss and hopefully inspire others that may need a little bit of reassurance with their own sight loss.
Because I know you've had your own dark times, as most of us dealing with sight loss have, but you did white cane training fairly recently, and that was a bit of a game changer for you, wasn't it?
It really was. I think it's fair to say that it was the creative opener, if you like, for Blind, A Sixth Sense, because once I accepted I needed to use a mobility cane, which for many, many years, it's been a nemesis of mine. But, it comes to a point where you need to keep yourself safe, and really that's what I needed to do. So after that training, I discovered that by taking myself into my blindest situation, which for me, I've got between 3-5% residual vision at the moment, but I'm completely blind at night. And a lot of my training was done at night, so it actually took me into my blindest situation. And that proved to me that to take myself into my biggest fear, which was blindness, and still be able to look after myself proficiently and be in one piece and feel quite confident was a game changer. It really was. It made me realise that actually blindness for me is nothing to fear.
Some people looking in, especially people who are perhaps not familiar with our world, may look in and say, well, why didn't you just do that when you were younger? It would have made a difference. But the thing is, it has to be the right time for you, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, as a youngster, 19 years old, you know, you're at a very impressionable, pivotal point in your life. Acceptance comes with time, and acceptance was something I never found until, like I say, 3 years ago when I started to use my cane. I mean, I've done a lot of self-development work on myself and continually to do that. So I think that's a very key point to say that, support, counselling, that kind of thing is really key to bring you to that place of acceptance.
And I think without a kind of determination, as your sight deteriorates, it's quite easy to become more isolated, because there's things that you tend to stop doing, things that you might have made an effort to do, but you think, I can't do that now. And it seems to sort of, your brain seems to just sort of, it's as if you never did them before. and you can gradually get quite isolated before you know it.
Yes, I think in fairness, that really does creep up on you as well. You're not necessarily aware that you're actually losing your independence until somebody comes along and gives you your independence back, which I say for me was the wonderful Rachel Newton, who was my guide trainer. And until you realise what you haven't been doing for so long, and then you're given it back, you're given a way into independence again, it really makes you realise how much you've let it slip, you know. But how wonderful it is to find it again, of course.
Yeah, and there's that thing that you might want to do something, you think to yourself, well, I could never do that. But you've taken this step. Let's take your example. You've taken this step, which has really been a game changer for you. And somebody else, it might be something else. But upon that, you can then build other things in your life.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, for me, sculpture has always been, I always say, has always been my saviour. It's been my connectivity to my creativity, which is always something that I can always trust upon and has always been a very constant thing for me. However, I think, you know, from what's come from all of my work, all of my exhibiting, all of my commission work, it's opened up this whole new world of acceptance and in exploring myself and my own capabilities. And of course, sculpture, as I now know, is a very much a part of me, but is only one part of me. I've now come to realise that there are many things to celebrate and, you know, many inspirational things that I do that are actually worth talking about and, like I say, worth celebrating.
Do you ever have that when somebody says to you, oh, that's inspirational, you're quite inspirational, and you think, I don't think I'm inspirational, it's just something I do?
Yeah, I think that puts me in exactly the right kind of description, because, I mean, I do so much more and than just sculpt. So, for example, as I've said, I'm now an ambassador for Rett in the UK. I also have many involvements in my personal life. So I'm a surfer. I didn't learn to surf until 4 years ago. Bear in mind, I was registered blind in 2002. And that was indeed something that I've wanted to do for many, many years. I've travelled all over the world and I've sat on beaches and watched these people surf and just wished that I could do it, but held myself back because I didn't feel that I would be able to because of my sight loss. And in the recent years, I've proved to myself that actually there are no limitations, only the limitations that we put on ourselves. And once you release those limitations and you give these things a try, you can find solutions, adaptive, accessible solutions for you to be able to do anything. And that's one of the things I love to do. I love to surf, I love to skateboard, I love to snowboard. So they're all kind of board sports. But I'm a musician, I sing, I play piano and guitar. So again, another form of creativity. So it's about recognising the things that you like to do and in being able to be adaptive with how you do them. I think that's really key.
Well, there you go, as a case in point. I mean, we've chatted on and off for what, a year and a half or so now, and I knew nothing about your love of surfing or skateboarding.
Oh, really?
Or any of that. So, you know, it's quite amazing, isn't it, how that side of you, I had no idea. I've only really thought about it as your sculpting and your artistic side of it.
Yes, that's right. I think it's easy for me to promote, shall we say, my professional career as a sculptor. Of course, I've always kind of put that in the forefront. But as my life is kind of opening up to many possibilities, I've realised that there's so many more facets, if you like, to who I am and the things I enjoy. And I like to, kind of advocate that through my public speaking.
Which brings me back to these sort of experiences and these sort of thought processes that we're going through here in conversation. You can feed into your public speaking then, can't you?
Yes, absolutely. I think I do it in quite a journalistic way, if you like. So it takes you on a journey from when I was first diagnosed right through to the current day. And it does talk about, as we touched upon earlier, that dark time. I call them my dark days. And, everybody with sight loss will experience that, because the word sight loss is loss. It's about grief, a grieving process. And I think once you open up and share that grieving process and show people that, yes, I have gone through all those emotions that maybe people are going through right now or have been through. But I've also managed to come through those and open up to all possibilities. I think that's a real, you know, kind of inspirational thing to share with people.
Yeah, and it's a way of also you can give hope to people that just at that particular time were feeling low.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I think the way of being able to open up to many people on a public speaking level is such a good forum, because I'm standing up there on a stage in front of hundreds of people. So obviously, to reach that many people at one time is a real blessing in itself, you know. And I hope to enable people to contact me, because I now offer a mentoring process where people can email me and talk to me, and if they need any help, then I'm open to helping as many people as I can.
Well, the charity is called Retina UK. It was formerly RP Fighting Blindness. Same charity, just a different title, and your ongoing work with that. How can we keep up with your sculpting work as well?
Well, it's all on my website, which is www.victoriaclairesculpture.com. There's a page on there that's always talking list of the events that are coming up. Literally, just Friday, I had an exhibition that was for the European Guide Dogs Federation. And that was an exhibition of, I have seven pieces in there. And that went very well. I gained a commission from that as well. And also a possibility of actually exhibiting in Brussels in the parliamentary buildings. So that's quite exciting. That's in its very infant stages of sorting out at the moment, but it could actually be quite soon as well. So there's quite a lot of logistics to work out with that. But obviously a very wonderful opportunity.
I tell you what, Victoria, I can't believe how far you've come since we first spoke.
Thank you.
Quite amazing.
Thank you. And neither can I, to be honest. I think there are so many things that seem to be opening up to me. I mean, I'm in conversations with the Oxford University company Oxite. They're very keen to involve me with their work, and indeed I'm going to be speaking to them tomorrow, and they're going to be talking to me about how they would like me to come and speak and exhibit at their London launch in February. So that's quite exciting.
Victoria Clare, I know we will speak again, but for the meantime, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks ever so much for having me on.